following is a special presentation from 92.9 and 96.5 WBBM Saugerties, Kingston, Poughkeepsie, New York.
Every so often, all of the forces in the musical universe align and harmonize and descend upon Earth to deliver exactly what people need and crave at that very moment. One of those rare moments happened beginning in the summer of 1973 and culminating in December when Paul McCartney, along with his wife Linda and Denny Lane, dropped the album Wings, Band on the Run.
I'd left the Beatles and it was a very difficult period because suddenly, for the first time in my life, I didn't have a band. Nobody had a band, and we were all going our separate ways. So it was kind of difficult to know what you would do. The first thing I did was the McCartney album, just sort of, okay, well, I'll just multi-track with myself. And then after that, we got together, Lynn and I, we got together and formed Wings, which was kind of, at first, a very crazy little funky event, you know, wildness, you know, but not booking hotels, going on tours where we didn't know where we were going to play and stuff. It was crazy. And then after that, we got a bit more organized and got into sort of Wings proper. And it continued right through, you know, and we did some pretty good stuff and had some good fun. And then came Band on the Run, spoiled it all. The goals that I set myself for Band on the Run were really just to make a good record. It wasn't anything much more than that. I had a good talk with Jeff Emmerich before we got to record it and talked about how we'd get the sounds and how we wouldn't have really much on the record, but whatever we had on would like fill the picture in a very sort of subtle, great way. As far as the songs and like what the album said, I was just doing my usual kind of thing, which is just writing songs, you know, and they just come in bunches and hopefully they interrelate.
You might say mission accomplished. The album was embraced immediately by millions and has continued to grow with each passing year. Band on the Run won two Grammy Awards in 1975. The deluxe edition of Band on the Run was awarded a third one in 2012, followed by the album's induction into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2013. Most people consider it the definitive Wings album. New generations continued to discover its genius. It took until 2010 for 1985 to be performed live, but now, as Paul's career continues full speed ahead, it's a regular presence in his live sets. 50 years after its original release, MPL and UME announced the expanded 50th anniversary edition of Paul McCartney and Wings' iconic Band on the Run, dropping February 2nd, 2024, in multiple configurations and formats. The deluxe versions have an entire disc of previously unheard underdubbed mixes. We'll explain what that is later in the show. There are so many fascinating stories about the creation of this record, and you're about to hear them, as told by Paul, Linda, Denny, engineer Jeff Emmerich, as well as actors James Coburn and Dustin Hoffman. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Welcome to Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run at 50, All Access.
Hello, hello, we are.
Smokin' Hell in Wheels, now heard on Paul McCartney and Wings' 50th anniversary release, A Band on the Run.
I'll tell you why I put Jet out as a single. Because some of the time I do the music, like it and stuff, but find it very difficult to tell which one's the best one. And I thought Hell in Wheels was one of the best tracks off that album. I was wrong, and, you know, I admit it. But you're so close to it, you can't necessarily pick it. And a very good promotion man from Capitol called Al Khoury, who was having a very hot period, selling a lot of records and moving, hey, you know, shifting vinyl, rang me up, and he said, Paul, you've put the wrong single out. You know, Hell in Wheels, shouldn't have done it. He said, let me have the record, let me handle it, let me tell you how to do it. He said, I can increase your sales by 250,000, guaranteed. I thought, well, that's fighting talk. It's the kind of person I like to hear. I said, but what are you going to do? He said, well, just listen to me. Put Jet out as a single. And that was one of his first sort of moves. I said, oh, yeah, that'd be good. Because you do have to get objective. It's very difficult when you've written it with your own little pencil. You've gone and sung it and played bass and tried to do it in all these millions of ways. It's very difficult to stand back because you're inside it. You can't often see it when you're inside it. So it takes someone like that. And if it's a good someone like that, it's really very valuable, that. So he did the whole thing on Band on the Run. And it was the only album to kind of make number one, come down the charts and sort of got back up to number one through his efforts, actually, largely through his efforts. So I was dead chuffed, you know, I can do that anytime.
That time you told him that you're gonna be marrying soon. And Jet, I thought the only lonely place was on the moon. Jet, ooh, ooh, ooh. Jet, ooh, ooh, ooh. Jet, was your father as bold as a sergeant major?
A song whose name was borrowed from Paul and Linda's Shetland pony, Jet, taken from the newly dropped 50th anniversary edition of Paul McCartney and Wings' Band on the Run. Most of the album was recorded in Lagos, Nigeria. Wait, did I say Lagos, Nigeria in the summer of 1973? Why, yes, I did.
What happened was, I thought it'd be good to get out of the country to record, just for a change, because sometimes you're just bored and you think, I'm going in the same studio, you think it'll make your album boring. So I had a few ideas for songs that I was quite keen on, like Band on the Run and Jet, a couple others. So I wanted to go out the country, so I asked EMI, whose studios I knew, where they had studios around the world, and they sent over a note. There was Rio de Janeiro, there was China, of all places, and there were all these amazing countries where they had studios, and Lagos in Nigeria. And I thought, Lagos, Africa, you know, rhythms, yeah, because I've always liked the African music, and Ginger Baker had been getting into it around about that time. I liked the idea of going to a place that had produced records that had had great rhythm. And basically, at the back of my mind, I thought, well, I'll do all my songs with incredible rhythm sections. But actually, when we got there, it just took on its own kind of life. And we were in Lagos before the oil had really become, I think. And it was a sort of strange place. It wasn't what I'd imagined at all. It was very Africa, very sort of colony. And all the white English people sort of lived in a little district called, I think, Government Residential District, GDR. Oh, you're staying in GDR, are you? And it was all, oh, dear me, well, this is a bit different. You stayed in these little villas, you know, and you weren't really supposed to go walking around and stuff, which is a bit strange for me. But the EMI studio there was good. They had good equipment, and they weren't quite ready for us. They were still building the boxes when we got there. And they were saying, you know, the screens. And we said, oh, you want glass in them, do you? And these screens, the booths. We said, yeah, big piece of glass. Got to do it. Got to go for it. So, and the night before that album, two of the members of the group, Wings, had quit and had said they didn't want to come to Lagos. So it was funny, just three of us arrived there. Three of the group, anyway. A couple of roadies. Be me on drums, and we'd probably normally, me and Denny had started off with a couple of acoustics to just get the song down, like you would for a demo, and then we'd just build it up like a sculpture.
The late Denny Lane.
I can remember exactly what happened when we got there, that half the equipment at EMI Lagos didn't work. Well, no, it was there, but it wasn't plugged in. It was just kind of starting again, the challenge, you know, and it was great. I enjoyed it. The basic format was that Paul played drums. And I played rhythm guitar, you know, after learning the songs and just going through the sort of format. Just a rough to get the feel situation. Or he'd play, you know, a guitar and we'd add drums afterwards. I can remember one day we actually went down to Ginger Baker's studio and did one of the tracks. And Ginger played a fire bucket full of gravel as a maraca. But we seemed to get a great feel. We were in a strange land, a strange place, up against the odds in a way. Kind of like working like that, I think, you know. But, you know, generally it came together really quickly. It was not a sweat. It wasn't like being in with a band where everybody's got to do it and then you might not like the drum fill or that. It was just all we had was, you know, us. You don't have anything else getting in the way. So that I think the reason people like Band on the Run most of all is because of the feel of it.
Late at night when the wind is still, I'll come flying through your door. And you'll know what love is for. I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Your lips with a magic kiss, and you'll be a bluebird too. And you'll know what love can do. I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Bluebird.
Lagos, Nigeria, the lovely Bluebird from the 50th anniversary of Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run.
Car doors fly open and six guys jump out and they're mugging us at knife point. Linda is screaming.
There's more thrills and danger from Lagos coming when we return with our next part of Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run at 50 All Access in just a few minutes. Whoa!
Being an adult means being tired pretty much all the time. Plus, telling other people how tired you are all the time. And listening to other adults telling you how tired they are all the time. But around here, you'll always feel young and full of energy because we're the Hudson Valley's fun spot. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
I'm so happy you could join our celebration for the 50th anniversary edition of Paul McCartney and Wings Band on the Run. I'm Dan Neer, and this is All Access. So we've taken you with Paul, Linda, Denny, and engineer Jeff Emmerich to Lagos, Nigeria. Paul had written a bunch of the songs for the upcoming album and demoed them on cassette. On the group's second night there, Paul and Linda decided to take a leisurely stroll.
Linda and I got mugged one night by a gang of guys, and as their car was, we were walking between one area and another, and people had warned us, said, don't walk through this area. We said, oh, it's okay, don't you worry. There we were walking through this area loaded with, like, perfect stealable items, like cameras and stuff like that. Car doors fly open and six guys jump out, and they're mugging us at knife point. Linda is screaming, don't touch him, don't touch him. She said he's a musician. As if that's going to help.
So all my tapes, all my recordings went, and these are all the songs I'd written. So I had to try and remember them all. You know, go, oh, how'd that go? Band on the Run. And the joke is that I'm sure the fellas who took it wouldn't know what it was. You know, they probably recorded over it or didn't go for it or something. I don't know, but they probably chucked it away. So lying in some Nigerian jungle, there's little cassettes of Band on the Run somewhere. I'd written most of the songs. And I did remember them all, so...
Oh, boy. Luckily, they got back in the car and sort of went away without harming anyone. Oh, boy, I tell you, though, that was no fun. So we had quite a kind of crazy, stressful time there. We got back to the studio, and one of the guys at the studio said, you're lucky he didn't kill you. Did you know, just they figured you wouldn't recognise him. So he said, oh, thanks a lot. Should we make a record?
Down on the jungle, living in a tent. You don't use money, you don't pay rent. You don't even know the time, but you don't mind. Ho! Hey, ho!
from the freshly minted 50th anniversary edition of Paul McCartney and Wings Band on the Run, Mrs. Vanderbilt. One of those sing-along songs from the album. Another sing-along song from the album was written in front of a famous actor while Paul and Linda were on holiday.
A few months before the album, I'd been on holiday and I'd met Dustin Hoffman, who was filming Papillon with Steve McQueen. And we were staying near them, so it was one of those, they were bored and we went out to dinner together and stuff. Got to know each other a bit, and he's quite a laugh, you know. And so we got on well. And he was talking about, how do you write songs? He said, how do you write them? You know, I can't do his accent. He's American, so how do you write songs, man? And I was saying, well, you just sort of do it, kind of pick them out the air, and you just sort of, there they are, you know. I don't know, really. He said, could you write one just now? I said, I don't know. I'd have a go, kind of thing. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll get you something to write a song about. He said, I saw something great today. So he went and he got his copy of Time magazine that he had. And in those, you know, it has entertainment, those sections, the one you always read, one I always read. Anyway. It's a gossip, little gossip thing. And it had Pablo Picasso just recently died. And on the night that he died, he was having dinner with his friends.
Academy Award-winning actor Dustin Hoffman.
He had this ritual in which he got up about 11:30 in the morning, and he would take a bath in that tub, which we have seen in still photographs. It's got kind of clawed feet, and he would then kind of walk about, go through the garden, look at nature. And then around 3:30 in the afternoon, he would go to work in his studio, and he would work straight until midnight. And at midnight, he would have his big one meal of the day. And I think it was outdoors at that time. And he would have his friends about him, maybe whatever it was, 10, 15 people, at this long table. And then afterwards, he would go back into his studio again and work until 3:30 in the morning, and then go to bed and get up the very next morning, 11:30, and repeat this. And he had done this for the last 30 years of his life. And the night before he died, I think he died in the morning, and I was telling Paul all this, and at the night before, he said a rather prophetic thing, and he said it in French. He raised his glass to the people at the table at the conclusion of dinner, and his wine glass, and he to toast himself, and he said, drink, in French, he said to his friends, drink to me, drink to my health. You know, I can't drink anymore. And I was saying this all to Paul McCartney, this new friend, this first Beatle I had ever met. And with that, he started strumming the guitar. Now, this has never happened to me before or since. He just started strumming, and I swear that he began singing this song of the story that I had just told him about Picasso. It just came out of him. It's right under childbirth in terms of great events of my life.
A grand old painter died last night. His paintings on the wall. Before he went, he bade us well and said good night to us all. You know I can't drink anymore. Drink to me, drink to my health. You know I can't drink anymore. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting ready for bed. It came without a warning, but I'll be waiting for you, baby. I'll be waiting for you there. So drink to me, drink to my health. You know I can't drink anymore. Drink to me, drink to my health. You know I can't drink anymore.
Thank you. appel. Notre service d'aide touristique est à votre entière disposition. Vous savez, nous envoyons gratuitement une série de guides, des listes d'adresses.
Picasso's last words, Drink to Me, from the 50th anniversary release of Paul McCartney and Wings' Band on the Run. These are the last words for this segment of our celebration, but more partying, words, and music are in store if you can wait a few minutes for more of All Access.
When you were in your 30s, you would go out to 6 bars in one night. When you were in your 40s, you would go out to 1 bar and be in bed by midnight. These days, you're drinking at home and comparing fruit prices at grocery stores online. But at least you've got great music to listen to while you're doing it all. Thanks for making what we do worth our time. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Glad you could stay with us for the last part of Paul McCartney and Wings' Band on the Run All Access. I'm Dan Neer. The album is universally acknowledged as brilliant. So is the album's cover.
Paul decided to create the image of a prison break, and Linda contributed the idea that the prisoners should be folks that people recognize. One of them was the now late actor James Coburn.
I was in town, and I guess it was Linda that called me. She asked me if I was busy on the Sunday. And I said, no, why, what's happening? Well, we're doing this little, show me what it was. And we're going gathering at the Italian restaurant, and then we'll go out and take some pictures. There'll be some people there that I'm sure you'll know, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, sure, why not? I'd love to. And so I did. I just thought it would be a kick. I mean, because I'd never met Paul, like a little Linda. And so I thought, yeah, well, you know, like there's a couple of people that I'd like to meet. I didn't have any idea what was going to happen. And I always like those kind of things where you can't conceive of why whatever's going to happen. And so that's why I think everybody went along with it, because it was just going to be kind of a fun improvisation of something. Yeah. Doing a cover for a band on the run.
When Paul, Linda, Denny, and Jeff Emmerich came back with the tapes from Lagos, Paul then wanted to overdub some strings and other things, and he decided to bring in arranger Tony Visconti.
I decided to write in the style of the great 50s and 60s string writing that Jack Nitzsche would write in, or some of the other great arrangers of that era, because I think that was one of the greatest periods of rock string writing, pop string writing. So there you have Visconti imitating Jack Nitzsche and also throwing in the odd T-Rex lick that I kind of sneaked in there. And I remember just writing all those arrangements with a big smile on my face, because that track is just amazing with all its shifts and changes, and it certainly brings the whole album together, whereas Band on the Run is a definite overture. This is a definite kind of a finale, and the show isn't over yet, because the real big finale comes in the next track, 1985, and this is a pretty heavy rocker track with a descending bass line. And I think basically my brief was to make something of that finale so it would build up.
Well, I just can't get enough of that sweet stuff. Now, little lady, get behind.
From the newly released Band on the Run 50th Anniversary Edition, Paul McCartney and Wings with 1985. If you pick up the deluxe version, you can listen to the underdub mixes of all the songs from the record, which means the songs as they were brought back from Lagos before strings or other embellishments were added. Here's Paul on the title piece.
Yeah, one of the things I kind of like to do is experiment with sort of the form of songs. So on Band on the Run, it starts off like a kind of soul-y thing with close harmony, mellow, and then goes into more of a riffy bit, and then breaks and goes into another speed altogether for the main body of the song. It's similar to the thing on the second side of Abbey Road, like the medley business. It's quite nice, it's sort of theatrical to do that, and it's interesting sometimes for the sounds. You get a nice range of sounds and it takes you on a musical journey. If I hear of the album or a particular song on the radio, it just really transports me back to those times, because I don't often listen to my albums that I've done in the past, you know, maybe more listening to some new stuff I've done. So it is lovely to hear it on the radio and just really sort of be transported back to what I was doing in those days. Of course, it always seems like it was sunny all the time.
Stuck inside these four walls, sent inside forever, never seeing no
the title piece of Paul McCartney and Wings' masterwork, Band on the Run. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have left in our celebration for the 50th anniversary. But before we go, let's get one last comment from Paul.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. That did really great, that album, I must say. It is really nice when an album hangs around. It's like, it's a sign that someone likes it and that they keep liking it and they haven't just been a flash in the pan. So it's, yeah, it's always nice that.
You can pick up any of the versions of the 50th anniversary editions of Paul McCartney and Wings' Band on the Run wherever you buy music, including the deluxe versions with the underdubbed mixes. Paul McCartney and Wings' Band on the Run at 50 All Access was produced in New Jersey for Universal Music Enterprises by Near Perfect Productions, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to all the good folks at MPL, especially Aoife Corbett and Scott Roger, Eddie Pumer, and Jamie Hartley at Universal Music. I'm Dan Neer. Thanks for listening.
Say bye-bye. Bye.